I don't think I need to do it, but I'll say it anyway. Rhetorical questions right now. Who are you? Who are you? What makes you who you are? Is it the work you do with your life, the job you do? What is it that really defines who you are? Is it where you live? Is it your family, your ethnicity, your skin color? Or is it a mix of all of those things? What is it that really defines us? What if what really defines who you are is your relationship with Jesus? What if that was the controlling factor in your life that defined who you were? Today, we are actually reading some scripture, some transformative scripture from John's gospel that really asks some of these first disciples to do just that, to redefine how they think about their lives. Let us read together John 1, 29 to 39. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He is the one I told you about when I said, 'Someone else will come.' He is greater than I am because he was alive before I was born. I didn't know who he was, but I came to baptize you with water so that everyone in Israel would see him. I was there and saw the Spirit come down on him like a dove from heaven, and the Spirit stayed on him. Before this, I didn't know who he was, but the one who sent me to baptize with water had told me, 'You will see the Spirit come down and stay on someone, and then you will know that he is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.'" And in some translations, the Holy Spirit and with fire. "I saw this happen," said John, "and I tell you that he is the Son of God." The next day, John was there again, and two of his followers were with him. When he saw Jesus walking by, he said, "Here is the Lamb of God." John's two followers heard him, and they went with Jesus. When Jesus turned and saw them, he asked, "What do you want?" And they answered, "Rabbi, where do you live?" The Hebrew word rabbi means teacher. And Jesus replied, "Come and see." It was already about 4 o'clock in the afternoon when they went with him and saw where he lived. So they stayed on the rest of the day. The word of God for the people of God. John's gospel begins with a kind of a mystical introduction. John referred to it, you know, when we were reading the scripture, when he said, he was there at the very beginning when things were created. Jesus was. Jesus was the Word. And he was there at the very beginning when creation began. This is John the Baptist. He is the most well-known, outspoken person in the ancient world. He's the author of the all-time great sermon series, Repent, the Kingdom Is at Near. It's a very famous sermon series in the ancient world. He's the one, he was the first one that said, "Hey, it's not about me, it's about Jesus." And so I think it's really important that we notice what it is and what he calls Jesus when he sees him the first time after the baptism. Because in the Bible, there are actually 256 different names for Jesus. Some scholars count. Which one of these names for Jesus did he use? What did he say to him? He said, "There he is, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world." Why is that what John calls them. What is John's theology? Let's try and understand what it is that John is trying to say when he calls him the Son of the Lamb of God. So, to help answer that question, I want us to go back and think about some of our knowledge of the ancient world, and specifically of the Old Testament, the Hebrew Bible, the Jewish people in their times. When a person sinned and fell short of what God was calling them to do, what did that person have to do? They had to go to the temple and do what? Make a sacrifice. And what animal was often mentioned in the Hebrew Bible as the one to be sacrificed? A lamb. And so here's another good question. What did a person do the second time that they had sinned? They took another lamb to the temple and sacrificed it. And the third time. And the fourth time. And so we have now John identifying Jesus, the Lamb of God, that takes away the sins of the world. I believe identifying Jesus as the Lamb of God is what the story, the arc of the whole Bible has been about up to this point in John's Gospel. This is about a God who has sent Jesus to take away the sin of the world, all of those things that you've been doing. I mean, think about what a radical thing this is for John to suggest to his followers that we're following in these stories here. He's telling them, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. For a new believer, you know, today, for one of the first disciples, this is something brand new. This is a new connection to God. This is, you don't have to go to the temple anymore and talk to the priest to, you know, be in relationship with God. This man has come so that you don't do that anymore. You are directly connected to God. It was really hard for them to understand. And that is why they started following Jesus and they stayed with him for 3 years and they still didn't have it all figured out. Even when the Lenten road led to the cross and eventually the resurrection. The next question that we ask is equally as important, though. What happened to people after they met and got to know the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? Now, the easy answer, obviously, is they were transformed and changed. But let's look at this story specifically about Andrew that we've read today in there. Because Andrew was a disciple of John. He's the one who was named, and there's another one there as well. And he had no idea, Andrew didn't, where his journey with God was ultimately going. But he knew when John introduced him to Jesus that he wanted to continue that journey with Jesus. Jesus is just passing by, and he hears these guys saying, there he is, the Lamb of God. And he asks them, Jesus does, what do you want? If Jesus asked you what you wanted, I'll bet you can think of something really good that you would say to him. And it was, to me, all week when I was thinking about this, it was troubling to me that Andrew would ask him, where are you staying? I mean, I could think of a lot better things to have asked Jesus when he said, what do you want? But the more I thought about it, the more I thought, actually, it's a really good answer, really good answer to Jesus' question. Because Andrew didn't know where he was going. He knew he was on a journey with God, and he knew that he needed to have more of whatever Jesus was going to be teaching him. And so he wanted to know where he lived so he could go find him and follow him and become a disciple of his. Jesus' response, come and see and find out. And that is exactly what they did. They wanted more of what Jesus had. And so they started spending time with Jesus and their lives began to change. I think our journeys of transformation start in similar ways. We don't understand what it is that God wants us to do with our life, but when we encounter Jesus and we find out where we can best get with Jesus in our daily lives, that is when we begin that close relationship and our lives begin to transform and change. You know, we say, Jesus, Savior, lover, leader of my life. And He says, what do you want? We say, we want more. What should we do with our lives, God? Where should we follow? Where should we go? I encourage you to read through, you know, verse 50 in this chapter, because there are a couple of other stories about these disciples in John and how they came to be followers of Jesus. And their stories are also transformative as you read about Andrew and this first disciple. It was not really in any of those stories about working at being the person that God had created them to be. It was not about what they had to do. It was about spending time and being with Jesus. That is the road that began to transform and change people's lives. And suddenly these people didn't have to think about whether they should share what they had. They began to give to others and share with others, and they began to be concerned more with justice and what was right and helping people to become a part of the community. And it was not because they were trying. It was because they were spending time with Jesus and their lives were changing forever. I believe that what makes us what we are is, in fact, all those things that I ask you about. Sure, those are all part of who we are. Where we come from and our past experiences and our families, those are all part of who we are. But I think when we are on this Lenten journey with Jesus, that too changes who we are. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more our lives will be transformed and changed. And then we can ask ourselves, what does this transformation and change look like in my life? When I journey with the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, my character is changed from the inside out. Jesus changes us. And I encourage you this week, whoever your spiritual mentors are, to talk with them about your transformation and change story in your life and when you first began walking with Jesus and you first were encouraged to follow a path for your life. How has Jesus changed our lives? Amen. Amen.